Greetings and welcome to our Wednesday Rewind here at Believer City Church. I'm Pastor Tim. I'm the lead preaching pastor here at Believer's Church. Each week we gather here to rewind our Sunday service, our Sunday message, and this time in a small group discussion-based design with small groups meeting throughout Dunn County and even beyond. If you're local, you're no doubt tuned to Street Level Radio 101.7 FM. And if you're further away, you might even be tuned to our radio internet feed or our video broadcast. But no matter how you got here, we're sure glad that you are here. Last Sunday was Easter, so we're rewinding our Easter message, which is entitled, Is Your Jesus Still on the Cross? Let's jump in.
I said today is Easter, and my focus this morning certainly is not the celebration of the cross, however wonderful that it is, but rather the recognition of the resurrection. I ask you this morning as we begin, is your Jesus still on the cross today? If Jesus died on the cross, then our sins are paid for. Again, we might ask, what have we lost if Jesus had stayed dead? Well, the short answer would be that we would still be in and under the power of sin. Because in that thought, in that idea of the newness of life, I would challenge you this morning that many of us, I think, have never really ever known any significant newness of life at all. In fact, I think for many of us, essentially, we're living the same life as we lived before, with little to no detour from the that original trajectory of our lives that lay before us prior to salvation, before we ventured into this Christian thing. If we minimize, marginalize, or in any way disregard the resurrection aspect of the Easter story, we're sure to do the same concerning the resurrected life that is to be represented in us post-baptism. Maybe it's the other way around, actually. Maybe we marginalize our creation living, and therefore we marginalize the resurrection of Christ in kind. You see, I fear that many of us are living our lives with little to no difference from that which we would have lived had we not received Christ. Meaning, we wanted him as Savior, not so much the Lord. We are, in fact, many of us again, in this believed to be reborn life, many of us are living in the same place. We're working the same jobs. We have the same priorities we would have had without him. We built our families the same way. Our hobbies, our vacations, our money spending, our time use, they're all virtually the same. Our decision processes are the same. Many of us are afraid to acknowledge it, but for all practical and substantial purposes, it's the same life that we would have been living without Christ. Clearly, this experience was meant to be shared by all who follow Jesus, who all would follow him now to the cross and would follow him to death. Now that same resurrection spirit, that same resurrection power that raised him from the dead is to be at work in us as resurrected Christians. This means actual, frankly, dramatic life change. When was the last time you made a bold, far-reaching decision to move in such a way or to reject a path, not one that was sin, that's not what I'm speaking of here, but to reject a path that was a weight that would potentially weigh you down for living boldly for Christ? Something that was, again, not sin, you said no to it anyway. Because God was calling. Opportunity was knocking. Sin or not, those things so often keep us from being able to serve and to love and to give and to sacrifice to execute the great commission that we have been called to. Again, when was the last time you said no, even though it was an overt sin? We will never know what it means to live by faith. We'll never find or fulfill our divine purpose, our mission on this planet, to live fearlessly in the face of death. We'll never know the true reason for our lives as designed by our Creator. And we'll miss that not because we answered sin, but because we answered the flesh. Because it wasn't an issue of overt sin, it was a decision of saying no against the things of this world and saying yes to Christ. Look, this, I'm sure all of us here today would love to be forgiven of our sin. We all want to have a reservation in eternity. We all like that idea, but so many of us, in honest reality, simply don't want God messing with our lives. We want God, but we want here and now also. We don't want God messing with our plans and our priorities. We prove that by factually living in so many cases just like every other decent, moral, and yet still lost individual on this planet.
Christ died for my sins. Christ died for my sins. You know, for many of us, that statement, well, that's the beginning and the end of our Christian experience. We have gone no further, and frankly, we intend to go no further. For these folks, the cross is enough. It hopefully will unlock the gates of heaven and will allow us in when that day comes. And we require, we desire nothing more in this life than that ticket to that final train. For many of us, it really makes no difference at all whether Jesus returned from the grave. It makes no difference whether he is alive again. We just wanted the credit to our account that was provided for by the cross. And we have. Now, post-salvation, simply went on to live what is essentially the same life we would have lived had we not received Christ, had we not received the work of the cross. We tend to see the cross as necessary to our present and our eternal lives, but then the resurrection, well, we see that resurrected life as an optional aspect that is necessary only in the likes of pastors and missionaries, it seems. Not the average Joe out on the street. We live our lives out just looking like every other American, just another fairly moral good old boy that goes to church on Sundays. And virtually every aspect then of our daily living, hey, just looks like any other unredeemed guy on the street. Again, we're good guys, we're good people, but hey, so are a lot of folks that have nothing to do with Christ whatsoever. What distinguishes us from them? Well, that answer can be rather fleeting, elusive. Paul, he told us that after we die to sin, we rise to the newness of life. Yet so many of us have never known any real newness of life. We are, for all practical purposes, living lives indistinguishable from those who have never met Christ. If we dare, and most of us frankly do not and will not so dare, but if we dare to step back and actually look at our living, most of our practical daily lives we would discover is frankly the same as those outside the faith. nothing about our homes and our families and our spending and our vacation or our appearances, our nothing really says we are different in any way. There just simply is no newness of life, end quote. It is, in fact, whether we admit it or not, often the same life we had before salvation. We know that as believers, we are told to pick up our cross and follow him. We are called to die to him and die with him. We are called to die to this world. And hey, admittedly, that language is graphic and it's vivid. We are called to die. He could have used any other word, but he used that one. He seemed to be driving home and a clarity of understanding. You see, the path to salvation, therefore, according to Scripture, involves an element of death. And such speaks rather emphatically to a complete and utter end, well, to something. Did we truly die to anything at all? We're called to a death to who we were, what we were, and where we were going. We came head on with the greatest power in the universe, and yet so often we seemingly appear to have not received a scratch. The same resurrected spirit and power that raised Jesus from the dead, we are told here in our passage in 1 Corinthians to be at work in resurrected Christians. And that means actual and frankly, often and quite naturally, dramatic life change. And you see, that's not only possible in Christianity, but it's expected. And really, if we read Scripture correctly, it is to be mandated. After all, we have come back from the dead. Now, I asked on Sunday, when was the last time you made a bold, far-reaching decision to move in such a way as to reject a path that was not sin, but was a weight that potentially would weigh you down from living boldly for Christ? Again, something that was not overtly sin, but you said no to it anyway because, sin or not, it was going to keep you from being able to serve, to love, to give, to sacrifice, and to execute that great commission and your personal mission to serve Jesus in the way that he's called you to. Was there a time where you said no, even though, again, it wasn't an issue of sin, but you said no because it was a priority of love, passion, and commitment? Look, the truth is today that so many of us, we want salvation, but we don't want spiritual resurrection. Not really. It may not be something that we would admit from the pew of our church, but we don't really want it. I mean, we want the benefit. We just don't want the change. We don't want the cost that goes with it. We don't want the rebirth experience because we fear where it takes us. We fear where what it will cost and what aspects of the world that we're bound to lose in the process when we really want both. We want eternal life, but we want the world here and now also. And you know what? We simply cannot have both. Look, coming off of our 2026 Easter, we're called to see both the cross and the tomb as empty. However, for many, our salvation experience, well, it began and ended there at the cross. It began and ended on Friday. We never saw Sunday. And because of that, there's a very real chance that many of us are effectively still dead. We haven't surrendered our lives. We have not died to this world. We've not been resurrected anew. And while we may seem to be personally adept at ignoring that fact, well, it's evident to those around us. New life is still waiting for many of you today. What will it look like? Well, it'll look wonderful and crazy. It'll look testing. It'll look hard. It'll look fulfilling. And did I say wonderful? But you know, like so much of our faith, our Redeemer will not force you, and he will not let you live in the world. For if this is you today, you will simply be saying that you love the world more than you love him. For with Jesus, his walk is a radical one. That's why he warns us to count the cost, gang. If he said that, I think it's quite clear that there will indeed be a cost. So I'm not here to soft pedal this today. New life, well, it's a radical ride. But it's also the only place one will experience the fulfillment of being his disciples.